There's a better place to get your podcast. GCNlive.com. Hundreds of thousands of hours. Archived for your listening pleasure. All free at GCNlive.com.
Welcome to America Tonight. Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney. Hope you had a fabulous week. And because, boy, oh, boy, we are swinging some hash here coming up this week on ATN. Traveling to Washington, D.C., some big things happening with Benjamin Netanyahu, who is going to speak to both chambers of commerce despite the chilly reception, actually no reception, from the president, who doesn't want to seem like he's becoming involved in the election in Israel, because whether or not he'll be elected as the prime minister for a fourth term, the president says he doesn't want to have any sway in that. Last time Benjamin Netanyahu came to the United States, 29 standing ovations, and that was in 2009. Some Democrats backing the president feeling like he shouldn't be speaking in the first place. And this was the mastermind genius of the Speaker of the House, John Boehner, who wanted Netanyahu to come and speak. And, of course, we have all those tensions with Iran and deals getting close with Iran when it comes to nukes. So our Secretary of State, John Kerry, had this to say about the Prime Minister.
The Prime Minister, as you recall, was profoundly forward-leaning and outspoken about the importance of invading Iraq under George W. Bush, and we all know what happened with that decision. He may have a judgment that just may not be correct here.
All right, so the judgment that might not be correct, we're talking about Iran, which is the thorn in the side and has been for a long time for Netanyahu, and that's part of the issue with him, certainly. Coming up on America Tonight, on one of our weekly re-racks, a conversation with young Kyle Wright, who is wise beyond his years. It's amazing what this kid is doing. He's part of a UN caravan that he was selected for. I'll let him explain the details and some of the things that he's working on. And not even 20 years old is you know, absolutely amazing and very, very, I think, encouraging. Kid that gets involved. And I won't spoil the surprise in case you haven't heard Kyle Wright. That's coming up next on America Tonight. And no surprise, the Department of Homeland Security still kind of hanging in the balance. I say that because now you've got the Democrats and the Republicans who are jabbing each other in the eyes, pointing fingers, the blame game. You've got another shutdown date that is just there in the making. So no DH deal with the Dems. And at this point, is there going to be a possible deal on funding? And then there's some conversation about John Boehner losing his speakership over some of the things that have happened here. So Monday, you look at this, what's going to happen on Monday, you've got, I think, just a massive blame game that will explode in a couple of different directions. The House approved a funding bill for the agency just before the Friday midnight deadline, but only through this week. So the Band-Aid wasn't even the 3 weeks that Boehner was talking about. But because they couldn't get the three-week extension, and they had to rely on the Democrats to reach the shorter deal. So in both chambers, the Democrats, of course, oppose any kind of legislation that connects funding the agency, meaning Homeland Security, through the fiscal year with attempts to roll back the president's executive action that defers deportation for millions of illegal immigrants. And House Majority Whip, Congressman Steve Scalise, said that the House passed the seven-day funding bill to keep the fight going and force Senate Democrats to negotiate in conference with House leaders on a bill, because they're saying that the Senate Democrats won't even go to conference, and that anybody who disagrees with the president's action has to light up the Senate switchboard, so relying on you, the people, and make some of the Democrats feel some heat over this. Like I said, Boehner said on Sunday that the House wanted to enter, you know, some talks, but it, you know, they didn't, with the Senate on a final bill, and they looked at Monday's schedule, but so far that hasn't happened. I mean, there was a huge backlash after Friday's House votes, with Republicans criticizing, you know, each other, particularly the 52 who voted no. And you look at Congressman Pete King, always opinionated, always with something to say, who's a former chairman of the Committee on Homeland Security. He said, listen, Boehner needs to find a way to get a bill to the House floor without the whole immigration provision. That, I mean, that's it. We can't allow this group to block it. We can't allow that to happen. And Lindsey Graham, the senator from South Carolina, who's actually thinking about potentially running for president, said that the Republicans are going to destroy their best chance to convince the country that we can run the country if we don't stop this nonsense. But for now, it's just the 1 week, so that means tick-tock, we come to Groundhog Day all over again on Friday, and what do you want to bet? We wait until Friday, and we have the same conversation again. The same conversation about, oh, funding it, and what happens if they don't fund it, and they want a clean bill, and there's way, and oh, it's just the same, it's just the same circle, different day. Even Feinstein threw in her two cents. She said she doesn't think that the Senate Democrats are going to budge. Just to think, yeah, you know, we want a clean bill, and I don't see anything happening other than a clean bill, and there's just absolutely no way. And you wonder about Boehner, and you wonder if there's going to be sort of a little mini coup, and or even a bigger coup, and he ends up losing his spot, because at this point, with the seesawing back and forth, he is, a lot of people have lost confidence, to say the least, in John Boehner, and what seemed like narrowly getting him out of trouble could put him back in the spotlight again because of how many people in his own party upset that he backed away from something that he promised heading into the holidays as far as the Department of Homeland Security was concerned. And so now there's been a switch there. And the whole switcheroo has people who's, even some of the people in the House that normally back him, kind of questioning that, saying, maybe it's time to go in a different direction. All right, and quickly, you never want to hear these words, especially from someone who's not a weather person, but storms smashing into the Midwest, they're saying as much as 7 inches of snow expected for New England. Oh, they just can't get enough snow, can they, in New England? 100-plus this winter. And so this could push Boston just over its 20-year-old season record with 102 inches. Wow. Are they going to get the 6 inches they need? I bet you they do. And so the really bad storm warnings are for Massachusetts, except for Cape Cod, most of Rhode Island, light snow, and then it's heavier later in the day. It's just the same old thing there, too, isn't it? Hang with us. Kyle Wright next. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring, because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment moment basis, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Gold, it's like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE. Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Now, I bet he didn't know he's in our virtual green room. He's part of the World Peace Caravan. He's one of the 12 youth ambassadors that check this out. Would I have loved to do this at one point in my life? So this is what this caravan is doing. It's a 12-day camel caravan for world peace. They're going to retrace Queen Sheba's peace journey to King Solomon 3,000 years ago. And it all happens in Jordan, at Petra, Jordan, on December 15th at the end of the year. They're going to travel by camel, like I said, camel, horse, and foot to Jerusalem, Israel, etc. How cool is that? And we have one of the World Peace Caravan members with us, and that would be Kyle Wright from Denver. Hey, Kyle, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Kate. Good to speak with you today.
So how excited were you when you found out you were one of 12 people doing this?
Extremely, extremely excited. You know, I got involved actually by some unconventional means. I met one of the directors of this program, the World Peace Caravan Youth Ambassadors Program, actually on a flight to a board meeting for a nonprofit that I've been working for, and really hit it off with her and got very excited about the organization's mission. And from then forward, I was involved and really excited about all the terrific work that this team is doing.
So there's a lesson in that, Kyle. That means when you never know who you're going to meet on an airplane. Be prepared, right?
So true.
So you get selected, and I sort of gave a little overview of what was happening, but tell us more. What are some of the other places that you're going to go to, and what are some of the things you're going to do?
So, like Mark, you elaborated on sort of the nucleus of this entire program really revolves around these 12 youth ambassadors and a lot of the social media correspondents and team members that are really helping to get this group out there and get us involved with sort of our personal goals. But there's a terrific aspect in there that really involves the individual projects of each one of these ambassadors. And that looks like we're all focusing on what are called the Sustainable Development Goals, which are the United Nations post-2015 Development Agenda Goals. And I'm personally focusing on the goal of gender equality myself.
Mm.
But a lot of the rest of these ambassadors will be focused on things like the eradication of extreme poverty, education in the developing world, and tackling issues of violence and conflict as well. But that really means that we're going around. We're being very active in our region, and we're from very, very different places all across the globe, and really tackling these projects and designing individual projects to address our goals and our communities. So I am going to be doing a lot of stuff here in Denver, Colorado, in the United States, with my fellow ambassador, Larissa Patola, who is right now going to school at Claremont McKenna in California. And otherwise, you know, I think a lot of the ambassadors are really involved very much so with other organizations and some of the terrific things that are going on. So, you know, we're very active people in social justice and social advocacy, and we're going to be doing quite a bit over the next year prior to this journey to the Dead Sea and through Jordan on this historic trail.
So tell me about you and the gender equality. How did that become so near and dear to you and what you're focusing on?
So I've worked with an organization called Amigos de las Americas, which is a nonprofit that is based out of Houston, Texas for several years now. And they're sort of like a mini Peace Corps. And I was involved in two projects with them over the past 2 years, one in Cajamarca, Peru, for 2 months working on a sanitation youth leadership project.
Mm.
And then this past summer in Oaxaca, Mexico, working on a cultural preservation project, really. And, you know, I saw very personally, very firsthand, a lot of the issues and a lot of the pressures that in many ways subjugate young women, particularly internationally, on lots of levels when it comes to opportunity, economic opportunity, education, really just being able to be equally represented socially as well. And I was just struck by this profound sense of injustice due to gender, really, is the only variable. And, you know, I've got two sisters. I'm the eldest sibling to them. And, you know, I've been seeing a lot, you know, unfortunately, since I've come back to the United States, really a lot of unfortunate disadvantages based on gender as the only variable there when it comes to really being able to represent yourself, even in American society. And so, you know, I decided sort of since I got back from that first project in Cajamarca, Peru 2 years ago, to really get on the ground and really start to advocate for this issue and all of its manifestations.
Wow.
Globally. So, it's been a big effort on my part to try and involve young men in that as well, because, you know, unfortunately, a lot of times the prejudices and stereotypes that are handed down generationally really manifest in young men's consciences when they approach young women and when they sort of view their own societal roles. So I've been working hard to combat that, and I was actually a delegate to a United Nations event called the International Day of the Girl this past October, where I got to advocate on a really national level for this issue and really speak with some terrific people and get a lot of my friends involved as well. So it's an ongoing effort, but it's something that I'm very passionate about and very focused on.
So Mexico and Peru really had a great impact on you and your own nuclear family, too. Coming back to the United States, I think it's really interesting that you see that in what's happening in our own culture, too, as well. And what do you hope to, you know, at the end of the day, if you had the most awesome goal, period, what would it be for you?
Oh, you know, that's a great question. I think the biggest goal for me is ultimately in my lifetime to be part of a community that really does implement this concept of equal gender opportunity. There's not a single community on the planet, not a single nation who has achieved that standard of gender equity. So in my lifetime, that's something that I really look forward to seeing. But for me, I think the really personal goal that leads up to that ultimately is being able to involve young men in this process. Because right now, you know, feminism and a lot of the things revolving around the feminist movement have been led by young women, and they definitely should be, always. That's the main goal here. But young men, I think, in a lot of ways, feel like they don't have a role in feminist movements or in really furthering gender equality. And I really want to make sure that that's a standard, that gender equality involves all genders in my lifetime. I really want to see those types of movements take on more of that type of space.
You might not have seen this, I don't know, but Patricia Arquette, when she won her Oscar for Boyhood, what was interesting is at the tail end of her acceptance speech, she said that. She talked about gender equality, and she talked about the pay issue. Is that something that you address?
That's big, definitely. You know, in my state here in Colorado, women make 78 cents to every dollar that a man makes. So it's definitely not a foreign issue. It's very present in American communities as well. And that's something that I think is very well tackled through education. And I really do focus on access to education a lot in the work that I do because, you know, you see, when you put young women through school in the developing world and really focus on equal access to educational opportunity in the United States, you see that pay gap start to close. And economic opportunity for both genders really becomes a lot more feasible once education is focused on. So, and I think more of a sustainable, long-term way, yes, I do focus on the pay gap, very much so.
So, Kyle, getting ready for this trip and you have some time, are you going to any? Are you going to the local zoo and asking them if you can ride on the camel to practice that camel ride?
Oh, no. No, that might actually be a wise idea to try that out. I've heard that they're rather temperamental at times, so I should probably get some practice under my belt beforehand. Yeah, I might be stopping by my local zoo very soon.
I love that. Have you been in touch with some of the other ambassadors, or is there any kind of a get-together before you all kind of journey to Jordan?
Yeah, so actually we have conference calls biweekly. We actually have, you know, conference calls every week on Wednesdays, but big group meetings on Wednesdays where we all touch base at this conference platform that the World Peace Caravan runs, and we discuss some of the issues that we're focusing on. An ambassador, we have a highlighted ambassador every month, which really, and they really touch on their issue, their goal that we're speaking about. So I do get actually to speak with my fellow ambassadors pretty frequently through these biweekly calls that we have, and man, I'll tell you right now, we've got some terrific people working with this organization right now, and I'm very excited to see where we take things over the next year.
Yeah, it is the hope, too, obviously, because of certainly the places that you're going, that there'll be a lot of attention on that, and that'll be able to focus on some of those issues that you've mentioned.
Yes, that's going to be huge. You know, one of our biggest components in this organization is advocacy and awareness, and really involving not just each other and the work that we're doing, but everyone that we know and people who we don't know, complete strangers, to really pay attention and sort of work with us through, you know, sometimes certain degrees of separation, sometimes not, to really tackle these goals. And the advocacy and the awareness piece is huge. So there are definitely, of course, you know, interviews like the one that you're doing with me right now that we really appreciate and find really important to involve people in the work, because that, you know, that's of course what makes it effective and sustainable.
Yeah. All right, as we wrap this up, how many of your friends want to tag along with you?
Oh, so many. Got a lot of great people behind me, helping me along every step of the way, and you know, in a lot of senses, I'll be bringing them along with me.
I love that.
On this trip. Yeah.
That's great. Kyle Wright, terrific. I love what you're doing. Thanks so much. World Peace Caravan. Can't wait to hear more about that as we move along and get closer to the day. Thank you for coming on, Kyle.
Thank you. Appreciate it, Kate.
Bye-bye.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective. Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
This alert just came in. This special announcement is for business owners and leaders of organizations who've been waiting for the right time to build. General Steel has made it impossible to wait any longer with rock-bottom prices that could save you thousands. That's right. General Steel, America's leader in pre-engineered structures, is offering buildings at prices you will never see again. Don't miss these prices. A 50 by 100 for $35,000. You heard right. That's 5,000 square feet for $35,000. Manufacturers, if you need a larger building, try a 100 by 100 commercial building for $129,000. You can't afford to rent with these prices. Imagine a 70 by 100 foot church building for under $69,000. With the economy improving and interest rates still at historic lows, you can't afford to wait. So call 866-91-STEEL. Lock in your price now. Call 866-91-STEEL. That's 866-917-8335.
By now, you may have heard a bit about Bitcoins. But did you know Bitcoins are now over an $8.5 billion market? And did you know that over 65,000 businesses now accept Bitcoins? Listen, if you're already earning Bitcoins or trying to make money in the Bitcoin market, you've got to know BidBit.co. Why? Because BidBit.co is where you can easily receive Bitcoin by selling and auctioning off your own personal items or promote business products and services for Bitcoin. You heard right. Whether personal or business, you can now buy, sell, and auction your product and services quickly, easily, and securely for Bitcoin at BidBit.co, the first and only marketplace website to offer BidBit Escrow, a proprietary technology which gives buyers and sellers security and peace of mind because all transactions are protected. Start today. It's free to join, free to post, free to auction, and free to bid at BidBit.co. Buy, sell, bid, or auction everything Bitcoin. That's www.bidbit.co. BidBit.co.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy and get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99 and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
Tonight with me, Kate Delaney. How are you doing? If you're not in New England, you're probably a little bit warmer anyway, although I shouldn't say that because all of us have been hit by weather in the south and the southeast and the southwest, ice, snow, colder conditions, certainly nothing like what they've experienced, especially in Boston, which really has gotten hit the hardest, I think, of any point. If you look at a map, I mean, we absolutely could point to the Midwest and Chicago and amounts of snow and the Dakotas and some of you listening to us in Iowa. So I'm not slighting you, but you have to feel for those people in Boston. It's almost like a funnel was just from the clouds, just went directly on top of Boston. And some of you wanted to, believe it or not, talk about the weather. On that note, let's head to the mailbag.
You have mail, mistress.
Thanks. This one from Big Bob, who says, Kate, it cracks me up when you talk about the weather. I'm telling you, we're beyond flexible flyers and snowmen and igloos and anything that you can possibly think that is fun when you have a ton of snow. So ready for this winter to be over, and I'm sure I'm not alone. This one from Joe, listening to us in New Hampshire. We got a great affiliate there in Nashua. And he says, no matter what you think you know about the snow, you have no idea what it's like to to be shoveling for hours at a time, only to wake up disgusted the next day to find that you have the same dumb stuff in your path again, and you end up having to do the same thing. Yeah, you know, I use that word Groundhog Day a lot when I'm talking about politics, but certainly it would feel that way if you had the constant dig-out scenario. I mean, even with snowblowers or somebody helping you, and then that the thing that you don't always think about when you don't deal with a lot of snow, and probably some of you listening to me get this, but when you have that heavy, wet snow on your roof, you got to get it off because it piles up and it could collapse the roof, and then you really have problems. So now you got to figure out either hire someone to get up there and get all that snow off, and they may have to do it a couple of times, or you got to shimmy your way up there and get that snow off. Ooh. So, I mean, and that's vital. Besides the sidewalks, that's the other thing that so many are experiencing, these collapses, even in a couple of grocery stores and bigger box stores, because of the amount of snow totals that are just weighing down on, especially the wet stuff on a roof, whether it's flat or slanted or, you know, whatever it is. It's especially with sometimes with those slanted roofs, and how that can just, you would think it would slide off. Well, if it was blowing, it would slide off, but it doesn't always do that. It just weighs it down. Here's one from Al, who says, Kate, I haven't spoken to you in a long time. I promise I'll call the show when I get a second. But, you know, I'll tell you what, this whole DHS thing, so tired of hearing about it, so tired of the squabble, so tired of what's going to happen if the deadline isn't met again. It's just undeniably childish and ridiculous and is not going to amount to anything in the end. It's just going to be another footnote, just like 2013. And look, this battle is going to be fought in the courts over the president's executive action, not in Congress. It's not going to work that way. Well, I don't think it's going to come out and shake out in Congress either. Because of the judge with the injunction and the lawsuits that have been filed as a result of that, for sure, it's a courtroom decision. For sure, it's a courtroom decision. And Congress is no closer to funding Homeland Security because they have until Friday. So the same thing that will happen over and over and over again. What's the definition of insanity? Yeah, something like that. Let's move on. This one from Gary saying, hi, Kate. Hi, Matt. Hi, Nathan. Like the show. Love dumb things. Have a list a mile long. I'm going to pick a few out and send them to you, darling. Thanks. I get a chuckle out of that segment that you do on your show. The segment he's talking about, if you've never heard it, is called Dumb Things I Shouldn't Have Done, which can consist of anything, where you put the coffee on your roof and you're putting all your bags in the car, you forget and take off, and suddenly you're dying for that cup of joe, and you find that it's all over the top of your roof, flew off, and is nowhere to be found, not to be scraped up on the pavement. I think that's a common one, where you leave something on the roof or whatever. You know, it used to be, with the way cars start and in the future how that is, that people would lock a lot of keys in their car. I think in my lifetime, I probably did it twice. One time I had to get a locksmith. I had no choice. I couldn't figure it out. Nobody that I knew could help me either. They couldn't get it. So, and it's, of course, it takes them no time. It took, I think, all of 10 minutes. But that would have been a very common thing. Now, maybe not as much. Maybe not as much, but there are a slew of things that we all do every day that are, you know, dumb things. Like overloading the trash, then the bottom falls out because you don't want to get another bag out. And so you just pile the trash in there and you have a pretty thin, let's say, bag that you've got it in. And then you're trying to haul it off and everything comes out of the bottom. Oof, that'd be the worst. That hasn't happened to me in a very long time. This one, on a more serious note, from Stephen. He says, Kate, I know you talk a lot about ISIS. Did you happen to see, keep believing it was a Brit that was the so-called Jihadi John? Now there's more stories coming out about that. They're revealing that the ISIS terrorist known as Jihad John was on the British intelligence radar since 2011 and became very radicalized after a meeting with an Al-Qaeda op in 2007. Well, here we are these many years later, so there's been plenty of time for Jihad John to figure out what he was going to do, and obviously it's the nefarious, despicable acts that he's done, because he seems to be the one on the video almost all the time, sometimes somebody else, but he's always there somewhere, always there somewhere. So what is the plan? That's another thing that has to be discussed more in Congress. What's the plan to tackle ISIS and as fast as possible, because of obviously the outrageous things that are happening under their hand. That's been pushed to the side for a second, though, because they've got to deal with this DHS deal and figure out where that's going to land. And then this week is a big week for Obamacare, because it's really a huge challenge with the subsidies. And remember, even, and this has nothing to do with this case, but remember with the subsidies, some people had to pay back $500 or more. They weren't expecting to have to do that, but they did, and that upset many people, because they, where were they getting it? They're just going to pull it out of thin air. Yeah, not good. All right, how about this from, this one comes to us from Sal, who says, Kate, saddest thing that I happened to catch, I was watching one of the broadcasters, I don't know who it was, on a nightly show, who talked about the carbon monoxide crazy leak in a house in Ohio, and that three died as a result of that. Can you imagine how horrific that is? Yeah, and you know, you would think that then they probably are investigating, well, what was this, just a leak, or what was it? And three kids exposed to high levels of carbon monoxide from a furnace in the house died. So you had, you know, 14, 13-year-old, and this wasn't too far outside of Dayton. And then you've got an 8-year-old who's in critical condition. So carbon monoxide poisoning. They say, and see, this isn't anything that, and of course they investigate all the leads, but they found a furnace caused the leak of the carbon monoxide, because it's odorless, colorless, right? And it doesn't burn completely, so you don't know. And it was a relative that found the kids, then called 911. And the kids lived with their grandmother, who was in the hospital being treated for pneumonia. How awful is that? Oh, how awful is that? I mean, they're going to look for criminal liability to make sure, but it doesn't look like they're leaning in that direction. So you had a couple of firefighters treated for carbon monoxide exposure. It was that bad. And the kids were unconscious and in cardiac arrest when they arrived. Oh, so sad. Their grandmother's taking care of them. She's not there. That happens, and it turns out to be a furnace leak. Wow. That's why they say it's so dangerous, and that you should have the carbon monoxide rates actually taken in your house and around your house, so you know what's happening there. Because obviously, it would hit an adult the same way. It might take a little bit longer, but you would have no clue what was, you know, what it was that hit you. And if you're lucky, you get out of the situation, but it's pretty quick acting. So you'd be gone within almost, you know, no time after ingesting some of that carbon monoxide, which is why they say get the monitor, have somebody come and do it, or you go and get a monitor. I think you can get one, and you just measure it yourself so you can tell what the levels of the house are, and you know that you got a problem if it pegs over. But I bet, and I don't think that machine's very expensive, but I bet not too many people have invested in it. It might be a good time for an investment. A 14-second fight, where did that happen? We'll tell you next on America Tonight.
The Freeze-Dry Guy presents Freeze-Dried Turkey, Freeze-Dried Ham, and the No-Bake Casserole Unit February Sale. Listen, if you trust the Freeze-Dry Guy, as thousands have for their emergency food supply since 1970, don't wait to hear how great this deal is, because it's unlimited supply. Call 866-404-3663 and ask for our new Turkey and Ham Unit. Normal retail price, $359.94. Sale price, $251.94. You save $108. And it's chock-full of high-quality, great-tasting freeze-dried diced turkey and ham from Mountain House, the gold standard in long-term storage products. Or get the Freeze-Dry Guy's No-Bake Casserole Unit. 153 servings per case at normal retail price of $215.94. Sale price, $172.75. You save $43.19. But supplies are limited, and we always pay shipping right to your door within the lower 48 states. Call 866-404-3663 and make freezedryguy.com a favorite and check for monthly specials. Don't miss the Freeze-Dry Guy's February sale. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
Attention listeners, SurvivalLife.com is giving away free EverStrike permanent matches for a limited time only. These matches are waterproof and will light in any weather condition, rain, snow, or sleet. It will still throw a spark. It's built in ferro rod, strikes at 3,000 degrees, and it is good for 15,000 strikes. Normally, $15. Today, it's free. Get yours at FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Again, that's FreeWaterproofMatch.com. Hurry, supplies are limited. Visit FreeWaterproofMatch.com today.
Are you hungry for delicious, nutritious, rich, and satisfying home-cooked meals? Discover the VitaClay 4-in-1 Smart Organic Cooker. Unglazed Zeesha Clay, an ancient secret that makes this fast multi-cooker so special. Infusing your food with incredible flavors, perfect texture, vitamins, and minerals for your good health. It's a slow cooker, rice cooker, a steamer, plus a yogurt maker. Go to VitaClayChef.com and enter promo code RADIO20 for 20% off at checkout. That's VitaClayChef.com.
On this slice of America tonight. For those of you who don't know Ronda Rousey, she is a UFC women's bantamweight champion. And this girl has moves. For what I know about mixed martial arts, you know, her reality show, people are interested in it. She's had some intriguing fights, but probably none as intriguing as this last one. And why? Because she won in 14 seconds. Here she is being interviewed after that big victory.
I was thinking that Kat might try and come and jump in on me right away because so many people were telling her that she was a slow starter. And I've seen her do, you know, try to do flying knees in the beginning. So I thought she might try to charge away because no one's ever charged me before. So they might think that might work. I was originally thinking I was going to check left hook if somebody charged, but she fell in on me. So I didn't catch her with a punch, but the knee missed. And then we started going to the ground. And I was thinking, like, judo-wise, like, I don't want to touch my back because it's a point, which doesn't make sense in MMA. But actually ended up helping the transition because I'd never done a throw or any takedown like that before in my life. I just made it up on the spot. And then arm bars where it was behind the arm, I was practicing that, completely facing a different direction, but I'm glad I could adapt in a really weird scramble like that.
Did you like that description, Matt? Did you hear what she had to say about how she was really technical? She is a mad scramble, glad she could escape it. But 14 seconds, that's huge.
Yeah, definitely. I watched a quick replay of it because it's so short that all these sports blog websites had it on there. I mean, people had it in Vine form because it was that quick. And you see that once in a while in UFC where it's just right out of the gate, someone kind of takes a little bit of a chance and then it backfires on them and they end up losing the fight because of it.
Yeah, and that's what happened there. The move that she made, I mean, she, you know, Ronda Rousey basically caught her midair, threw her to the floor, as she was describing, ensuing that wild scramble and jumped, you know, in straight into the arm lock. So that was it. You know, there's just no way she was coming back into it. 14 seconds. Barely break a sweat in 14 seconds. Wow. That's she is the grand dame. People, if they know anything about mixed martial arts or know something, they all know Ronda. And, of course, she has a reality television show as well, which doesn't hurt. But I think it's the exposure in the sport that is such a big deal. You know, we just turned a page on another day in March. Can you believe it? But if you look at the beginning of March in 1961, that's when President Kennedy started the Peace Corps. 1961. Crazy, huh? And then I went back and looked at some of the other things in history, and because I was in Ireland just a couple years ago, in 1981, Bobby Sands started his hunger strike in Northern Ireland, and he lasted 2 months. He died after that, and he became such a folk hero and a hero to so many people in Ireland that if you go into certain sections, you'll see his face painted on the outside of houses, like the open wall, because of how everybody felt about Bobby Sands and what a big deal he was. What a big deal. Main themes, as we're hitting that final post, really has to be Department of Homeland Security and what's going to happen there and yada, yada, yada. Same thing that we keep talking about, and lack of cooperation in D.C. I'm on my way to D.C., so woohoo! I get the bird's eye view of the same thing that we've been talking about, you know, again and again and again and again on this show. It'll be refreshing to say, wow, you're not going to believe this bipartisan bill has pretty much the support of almost everyone, shocking as it is, and how refreshing is it to be able to, you know, to say that you actually have an agreement of sorts. I mean, I don't think there should be a bipartisan support or agreement just to have an agreement, but when there are issues that can easily be solved as a result of that, I don't understand. I mean, I just don't understand how leadership doesn't step up. And with these committees and these spots, they should be, I think they should be, you know, frankly, tied to it. Let's see if we can get Grimm up. I think Grimm is there. Ugh, modern technology, let me tell you. I know, yeah, I can get him. I know. I got him.
I'm here.
Yay.
But I might have to go into witness protection after I tell you this.
You're going to drop something on us. Go for it.
Well, this is not the dumbest thing I've ever done. This is the dumbest thing I've ever witnessed along with a friend. But in the sports context, are you familiar with ice motorcycle racing? You know, the spike tires and how they go around an oval track?
Sure.
And they lean.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in person. I've seen clips. Yeah.
Yeah, they do it in dirt, too, as well. Well, mm-hmm. Back in the 70s, the EPA shut down these lagoons, which were sewage places that neighborhood communities would dump. And in these lagoons, what they do is they fill them full of sand so that the water will seep through but leave the sewage from going into the ground. But then they said we had to have treatment. We had to have treatment plants. Well, we happened to live next to one. Me and my friend were into motocross in our younger days, and we happened to go up there to that lagoon, and they had drained it. Now, around the rim, about 15 foot out, was raw sewage, but out in the center was sand. We got out there, and I tell you, you could just go as wide open and do the same thing as they were doing on ice. And my friend, he had a cousin that always wanted to ride with us, crazy, crazy guy, and he was a mechanic, but he was crazy, and he come up there on one of these old CL90s that Honda made, and it was just a smoking and a sputtering and didn't have any muffler on it. And he asked us what we were doing, and we told him, and so he said, let me try, and he got out there and he started making donuts, except in staying inside the donut, he kept getting wider and wider and wider, and he reached the edge where that raw sewage was, and when his front tire hit it, he slipped and he went out hands
full. No.
Well, what was
brutal.
What was really hilarious is he come back to him, and me and my friend, we were just trying to keep our distance from him, and he said, man, that mud really stinks.
Yeah, it really stinks for a reason, buddy. Did you get to hose him down a couple of times? Oh,
no,
that's
awful.
We kept our distance.
We fell off our bikes after he said that, and we got up and we kept our distance, and we looked at each other, and we finally told him, man, that was.
That's brutal.
I feel sorry for that guy. Even today, but it was probably one of the most funniest things. I mean, it was like he was doing a dive off the edge of a pool.
Oh, I would have had to just laugh my head off. Jack throws in a pooper scooter. Oh, that's awful. Grim, that is just too funny of a story. We got to let you fly. We're up against it, but that was brilliant. Thank you. That's so funny. Oh, what a crack up. Yeah, I wouldn't be happy to be on the receiving end of that. That's for sure. You know, there are no words. There are no words left to describe what he was just describing there. Wow. Wow, 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 wow. Hey, and we're going to end on this note. And this note is, wow. I was somewhere. I can't remember where I was. I guess Friday I was somewhere and someone told me about Leonard Nimoy and the fact that he died Spock. Nobody could do Spock like Spock. I mean, he really was that character. Oh, he really, really was that character. And he died. What a great loss. I think of his years, I think of his humor and how long that character was around. Farewell. Thanks for listening to America Tonight.
With your heart racing and sweat dripping from your forehead, you finally muster the courage to dial the number to call into your favorite talk radio show. It rings once, twice, and then...
Hello, it's GCN. What's your name and the state you're calling from?
Surprised you got through, you squeak out.
Jason from Minnesota.
Please hold.
As you patiently wait for your turn, you begin to daydream about being a famous talk radio host and what it would be like to have your own show.
Jason from Minnesota, you're up.
Millions of loyal listeners worldwide waiting to call and talk to you.
Caller, are you there?
Cheering crowds surround you, calling out your name.
Jason! Going once. Twice. Okay, we gotta move on to the next caller.
You blew it.
Huh? Wait, no!
Interact with the hosts you're listening to right now online at GCNLive.com. Click on the community link. Engage with other listeners. Ask questions. Start debates. Don't agree with the host? Let them know. Be a part of the community at GCNLive.com.